Hey everybody, this is Drew.
And it's Blake.
And this is Brian.
And you're listening to Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Controllers Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 92. We got ourselves another special one for you. We are doing another Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Controllers presents Lock, Stock, and Three Smoking Controllers co-op endeavors episode. We're going to forego the internet presence preamble and we'll kind of jump straight into it. We are doing this time two games. One, just because it was incredibly short, we knocked it out about two sittings, and the other one we played more, but we lost interest fairly quickly, and we'll rag about it as we get to it.
Yeah, because part of the concession of these episodes was to talk about games that we three beat together, and this is the one game that we haven't all that we did not beat together. So
no,
we'll get into
it's
that.
It's just the first.
It's the first. Is it the?
Well, there's also no beating the game either, is there?
I guess there is no. Well,
no.
We'll get into that.
Yeah.
All right.
First game.
So with that, our first game is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge. Originally came out June 16th, 2022, and then a little while later would come out on PS5 and mobile. And the Android and iOS versions were actually published by Netflix January 2023, because they're dipping their toes into video games.
Yeah, but I thought they did their, like Bandersnatch is kind of gamey, and then they bought the company who did Oxenfree because they want to make an Oxenfree TV show. I thought they were doing like narrative games. It's weird.
They've got a few different games now that you can play on Netflix.
Oh, you can play Minecraft Story Mode, but still is a narrative game. But Turtles is not a narrative game. How would you play that on Netflix?
It's a streaming It's a streaming game on mobile devices. They stream it through their servers on their mobile devices, I guess.
That's trippy. They would have to pair a TV show with that, you would think. The whole point of Netflix doing something like that.
They're starting to get that gaming money, man. They're doing the Netflix gaming. They're just like a stop to go to get stuff. And that, like, their whole customer base for that is just casual gamers. So people that don't do a PlayStation, don't do an Xbox, don't do a Switch. But then they're, you know, on their Netflix and like, oh, what's this game?
You can click on it like an iPad or something and just go at it.
Yeah. It's just like with games over like the Fire TV or whatever, you know, that kind of low budget.
Those were
stuff.
Low. That was like Match 3 and stuff.
And like Flappy Bird and that kind of stuff that's on there.
Yeah. Huh. That's interesting.
But Match 3 games are all over the place and they make stupid amount of money.
Very, like Brian said, very casual stuff. I just don't see a Match 3 Ninja Turtles, which is awkward because there's four turtles. Maybe it's a Match 4 game.
Middle-aged housewives love to match things, you know, it's just part of it.
They could tell their young kids that I play Ninja Turtles too. I play them Ninja Turtles as well. They can talk to their kids about it. Parents want to connect with their kids in some way.
They do.
Give them a Match 4 Turtles game and they can talk to their kids about how they play the turtle game too.
I do. And as a nerd, a self-proclaimed nerd, I feel like that's why our mom liked Big Bang Theory so much, because she's like, oh, let's be connected to my kids. And then she would try to talk to us about it. And she's like, oh, they talk about superheroes and who'd win. And I'm like, I hate Big Bang Theory because it represents the Hollywood nerd, not real ones. And she's like, oh, okay.
You never talked about it again.
I felt so bad.
How mean are you? My gosh, she just wants to connect.
I didn't have the realization until later after I crapped on the show. I was like, oh no, I think she was trying to connect to me and I felt horrible.
I That show sucks though.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely pretty sure.
But really though, no.
Like watched it.
Anyway, back to Turtles.
Other nerd things. All right, so Turtles, TMNT Shredder's Revenge is developed by Tribute Games. They've been around since May 9th, 2011, and they have made 10 games, but that's 10 games with an asterisk. Asterisks. You know what I mean. The little star that everyone doodles on things.
It's, from here on out, an asterisk is going to be a doodle star. That's just it's now known as
exactly what I'm talking about. It says 10 games with an asterisk. Asterisks.
Move on. Say the
freaking word. Because 3 of the 10 are remakes of games that they made in the past. I say in the past, it's only 2011, but they would go to remake like 2010 to 2016 and then like a 2014 game into 2018. So I'm not even sure they're remaking them 4 years later on. Yeah. It's like they were mobile and then they made the console versions with it.
See anything we've heard of?
No, not a
just a real quick no.
It's all a bunch of all they make are side scroller beat 'em ups. Which is what this is. It's literally all they make. They make 2D side-scroller beat-em-ups.
I wonder how they got the turtle license then.
I don't know. We got Ninja, Senkai, Mercenary Kings, Curses and Chaos, Flint Hook. It literally, like, they're just going down all the genres. You got ninjas, you got mercenaries, you got ghosts and goblins, you got pirates. But just as side-scroller beat-em-ups.
But Turtles is the only one that's a licensed product. Mm-hmm.
Which is strange. And they've also published one game, which was a sci-fi side-scroller beat-em-up called Steel Assault.
Was it their own? No. Published their own? Self-published? Their own
game? This was actually released for Windows and Switch and whatever the Amazon Luna is.
Every time the Amazon Luna comes up, I know what it is. Every time it comes up in other podcasts, everybody's like, what is this? It's just Amazon's little gaming service that nobody plays on. As far as I know, nobody really plays on it.
No, and they really want you to buy the controller, too. The Amazon's always trying to push a Luna controller for no reason.
So they've
we're talking about cloud stuff off podcast. I guess is it kind of like a Stadia or anything like that, maybe, or like
it's exactly
he's like a Fire Stick Gaming. I mean, it's
exactly like a Stadia. That's what it is.
Operated by Amazon. Available only in US, UK, Canada, and Germany. And it's powered by the Amazon Web Services as integrated with Twitch.
They have a bunch. You know, Amazon's a big enough company. I mean, you say the same thing about Google, why the Stadia didn't take off, that you think Google, Amazon had enough money to make the Luna something worth having lying around your house, maybe, because it's like we talked about off-pod, I thought like my cloud gaming for Xbox is I don't do it very much, but when I do it, it works pretty good. And I think Google and Amazon are both way bigger than Microsoft.
Yeah.
And have the money and technology to do better.
But they didn't put in the effort, and
didn't Google like abandon dedicated. Stadia like a month into it?
Yeah, Google.
They pulled all their first-party stuff and just completely abandoned it.
Yeah, they aborted it within 2 months at least of it launching.
Well, the good news is, Drew, we have it. It's either $10 a month or included with Amazon Prime.
Oh, I got to get up on that. Is there any, never mind. Off pocket. I'm going to look into that, see if there's any exclusives. On our podcast, we'll have some exclusive Luna games.
This is the Luna exclusive podcast.
It says some of the Luna Plus subscriptions come with channels such as Ubisoft Plus and Jackbox Games.
Oh, bunch of games I've already bought already. Okay, yeah. We're off to a good start.
So we'll look into it. Anyway, back to Tribute Games and their side-scroller beat-em-ups. And that's literally all they've done. A bunch of different versions
to the game.
They did some work on Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Some of the co-founders did. As a matter of fact, 3 of the co-founders are former Ubisoft, Montreal or Quebec? Because they're from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. 3 of the 7.
That was a good, because like we, again, off podcast, we talk about, we skip a lot of 2D side-scrolling games, but Scott Pilgrim was one of the few that had enough flair to it that made it interesting, I feel like, to play back in the day. They re-put it out again. I guess they didn't, because they didn't own it.
Yeah.
But that game got re-put onto modern consoles.
It's actually being made into an anime nowadays.
The game come out, and then I think the anime come out and stuff like that. That was a fun little beat-em-up we played back in the day, but only because of the Flash. It was multiplayer too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The movie wasn't terrible either. The movie was actually...
I think that's what's his name's best movie.
Michael Cera's best movie. Michael Cera or Edgar Wright.
We have to toss it. Edgar Wright makes a lot of good movies, but that's probably Michael Cera's best movie. I mean, I love that part where the girlfriend knocks on the door.
Knives,
and she's like, "Is Scott here?" And and you see him jump out the window behind him. It's like, no, I ain't seen him.
I think he just left.
I think he just left. He jumped out the window.
And he reaches back in to grab his jacket.
such a funny movie.
It's one of the best, especially for like video games and stuff. It's one of the best movies.
Very, very good. Anyway.
But anyway.
Scott Pilgrim podcast.
I wonder, because like this being side scrollers and stuff, and they work for Ubisoft, I wonder if the games that they worked on were like, was it Assassin's Creed India and Assassin's Creed Russia, which were the side scrolling ones?
Which I wanted to like. I played China for a couple hours.
Was it China, India, and Russia?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, three of them.
Okay.
Did you play any of those, Brian?
No, I did not skip those. I knew better.
Because they were side scrolling, or because you didn't need more Assassin's Creed in your life?
Side scrolling mainly. I mean, Assassin's Creed comes and goes. I'm really hot and cold on those games. But when I'm on, man, yeah, I'm one of those 80 to 100 hour guys.
I'm in the middle of that right now with Origins. I tried China because when those came out, I was on the path of playing every single Assassin's Creed game until I gave up that endeavor when I realized I was about 8 games behind and I wanted to jump to the more modern ones to catch up. And now they're going backwards again anyway, so what good did it do me with Mirage? But I wanted to like it because I really enjoyed Mark of the Ninja. Now they're not related, but Mark of the Ninja is an incredible stealth side-scrolling game, one of my favorite stealth games of all time. And I thought, well, if anybody can do stealth again and make it fun in a 2D setting, hopefully it'd be Assassin's Creed. And something about China, I remember if it was the gameplay or the movement or something, man, I didn't even beat China, so I didn't bother getting the other ones. I think they might have claimed them all on Games with Gold or something, but I'll never go back to them now.
Oh yeah, because there's no need to go backwards that far.
I can't go back.
You skip so many to get to
so viewer. I jumped from Black Flag to Origins, and now they've soft announced or rumored a Black Flag remake. I was like, so good. Now I'll go back and play Black Flag again before I do anything else. A remake of that would be on modern consoles.
Would be awesome, though, if they do it.
Yeah. I mean, it looked incredible on the 360. I can't imagine what it would look like now. Get sidetracked here. We've got to talk about turtles.
But that's going to take away from your Skull and Bones players.
Yeah. Where was I? All right. So the game actually has nothing to do with the original, was it like an 86, 87 cartoon, but all the inspiration for the game they drew from that.
The old arcade games?
Yeah. Mostly the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And it did well.
Yeah.
The game sold over 1 million copies in its first week, and then has since gone on to sell even more as it became on Switch and so on and so forth.
Game Pass? Well, I guess you don't sell copies on Game Pass.
But it's become incredibly well received across all the boards. And one of the best receptions people talk about is the fact that all four of the turtles from the original cartoon came back and reprised their role.
Yeah, the voice actors.
That's cool.
Yeah, good old, we have Barry Gordon, Donatello, Cam Clark, Leonardo, Townsend Coleman as Michelangelo, and then the ever famous Rob Paulsen as Raphael.
Hmm.
They all came back, which is awesome.
Yeah, but they probably touched the turtles since the 90s, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Getting lost over there?
No, just I'm bouncing back and forth because I got some stuff that was too much to write down, so I had the article pulled up. And the other thing people constantly rave about, besides it being visually incredibly appealing, the art style is fantastic, the individual animations of all the turtles, and the fact that all of them, the individual taunts and so on and so forth, and with a free DLC came out after we beat the game technically, but we never played it, but the DLC did add in a brand new character, which was Usagi Yojimbo, who was an independent character from the Turtles in the mid-80s, but then they just kind of just said, screw it, let's go ahead and combine them because it just does well. He did well by himself, but he did better as a Turtles thing.
I thought it was a girl turtle. I thought it was a girl. It's a rabbit. Ain't, I
don't know. Yeah, Usagi Yojimbo's a dude.
Oh, okay, I thought it was a girl. For some reason, I thought it was a girl rabbit. I don't know why.
Because you're sexist?
Maybe because the last name is Ojimbo?
Yojimbo.
Yojimbo?
Yojimbo.
I mean, seriously, how does it get? I mean,
besides him being added in, you do get for the first time, I don't think it's the first time ever, but you do get to play as April O'Neil and Splinter from the get-go.
Well, that's not DLC.
They're in the base game.
Did one of us play as April?
Played as April for the most part. I was like, because I wanted to play all the characters, and then she has a huge microphone or camera she pulls out of nowhere. A whirlwind move, and I was like, this is my character. I'm just going to beat people to death with a camera stand.
I don't think any of us played as Splinter.
Mm-mm. And then once you beat the game, you get Casey Jones, and we all did that for an achievement, played a level with Casey. I think we all did. I did.
I probably didn't. Once I beat the game, I was pretty much done with it.
It's amazing. And the music and the soundtrack of the game, everyone just raves about, because they took some cues from the original one and made that kind of like revamped some of the songs and stuff like that, including some really good people, some rappers.
Ghostface Killer.
Mega Ran, Ghostface Killer, and Raekwon, as well as Mike Patton, who is the lead vocalist for the metal band Faith No More, all came in and contributed and stuff like that.
He died.
Who?
Faith No More. What am I thinking of? Never mind. I'm thinking of something else.
He's still alive. Yeah. He's only 55.
Well, you could be any age and die. I mean,
posthumously contributed to the soundtrack. Yeah.
I'm thinking of somebody else who died.
You could be negative and still be murked by your own mom.
That's cool. And so a bunch of rappers and then the guy from Faith No More.
Yeah, which is kind of strange.
They meshed very well together.
That's cool. I don't even remember the music, honestly. Of course, it's been months since we've played, so I don't really remember the music. But
it had good energy. I mean, it kept the pace going well, I think, and it fit what was happening most of the time. So
we're talking about music. You might better drop something in here good on the edit. So I want to hear some dope beats and rap behind this.
Obviously, the Ghostface Killer track's got to go right about now.
Always. Now, the game itself is primarily digital. It's all digital, except for had some physical releases on the Switch.
Limited Run, I think, did a physical release.
Limited Run did a...
which is apparently, I don't want to promote them on the podcast. Apparently, they're not a very good company.
Oh, really?
They do physical releases of games that don't get physical releases, but they have really bad customer service, and they take your money right away and don't give you the game as quickly as they take your money. They take your money, and then you wait 6 months to get the game.
Because I know we have some of the steelbooks, well, people can't see on camera, but some of the steelbooks on your wall.
Yeah, I got from Limited Run back in the day before I knew how. I haven't bought anything from them in a while. I haven't bought anything from them since they did Indigo Prophecy. So I have a pretty cool Indigo Prophecy steelbook right behind me. But you can make it, I said behind me like anybody could see it. But I stopped buying from them after that. And then they really just kind of stopped having that. I still see the posts come across, but they don't ever, all the posts I ever see people complaining about how terrible they are.
I'm giving them a pass because one of the editions of this game that came out, the Classic Edition, included a VHS box and a VHS tape box that contained the disc for the game. So
pretty cool. I think they also did. They might have done the Scott Pilgrim game as well.
I think they did. Because what they put out quality. They do. Like, someone's
probably get your hands on it.
Yeah.
You just got to wait for it.
Run.
Yeah, you got to wait.
They only ever make like between 2,000 and 10,000.
It's Limited Run. They only make so many of them.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
They got to take your money.
Being limited is part of the appeal, I guess. I think it's their customer service and stuff like that, where they don't fare too
well. They have to take your money so fast so they can fund the thing they're about to make, because I'm sure they don't have a lot of money.
Well, if that's what they do, it'd be fine. Just if they need to say that up front.
Yeah.
I had a thing one time. I ordered a thing, a steelbook thing one time. It kind of said that. And I waited like a year, and finally I got an email. An email was like, yeah, we didn't make it. Here's your money back. It was like a walk. I'd bought it so long ago, I'd forgotten about it. And I really wanted that steelbook too, but it didn't happen.
So we know that I played as April. And who did you guys play as? Do you remember?
I was Michelangelo, pretty sure.
I was the party dude.
I was probably Leo. That's Brian's whole thing. He's been a party dude forever.
Yeah. Even though you look exactly like Donatello.
I mean, don't make fun of my shell. Nobody can see my shell. So just
I was referring to the hunchback.
Oh, well, there's that too. That's what I call my shell.
You're disgusting to look at.
I guess I play as Leo. I've always wanted to play as Leo. I don't remember. I'm pretty sure I always play as Leo when I'm given the choice of a turtle to play as.
I mean, I had fun while we played it. We got to go through all the...
Yeah, it goes kind of, like you said, we beat it in two sittings, which this is coming right off. We didn't mention on the front end. This is coming. We wanted a palate cleanser after 100 hours of Dark Souls. This accomplished that, but much shorter than we anticipated. So we ended up with having two games on this podcast because of the other game that came right after this one. Kind of wish there was a little more. Like, you kind of just... It has a world map, which is kind of cool. There's not really a whole lot going. You get to drive the little...
It is like an old school world map, kind of like Mario.
Like Mario World. You drive your little truck around.
The turtle van.
Turtle van.
And I forget what it's called off the top of my head, and I feel awful for not knowing it.
It had a name?
Yeah.
Oh, I feel even worse now.
Mm-hmm. Trying to Google the turtle van name. What? Shell Shocker. I was not telling what it was called.
It might have been actually called the Shell Shocker or something like that.
Something was called the Shell Shocker regardless.
Had to. What do you want to say about the... Because there's not a lot to the game besides just clicking on the map stuff, and then you get all the different levels. But like we did, like we just like...
We railed it. Like, we bent it over the barrel and showed it the 50 states.
Yeah, straight.
There's
straight
a bunch in. Of collectibles. I mean, that was what we spent most of our time doing. We
replayed levels.
Yeah, because you had to go back and get the different VHS tapes, and then because there was different arbitrary characters that said, "Hey, I've lost these 10 of this, and you need to find them or whatever." So,
oh yeah, and they gave you.
And experience. We collected the Battletoads.
Oh yeah, it's funny. We did collect Battletoad figurines, and then there were fairies from like Dimension X that we had to go free a fairy from every level or something.
Yeah,
I do remember those. The game was fun. Like. That's my problem, like with these side scroller beat 'em ups, is they can be enjoyable, but there's literally a side scroller beat 'em up is the cheapest game in video gaming to make.
Mm-hmm.
That's why there's so many of them, because they're so, I don't say easy, but they're so cheap to make. Rather, that's why they're all over the place. So you flood the market with it, and I'm just like, ugh. Another 2D like side scroller.
This exact same game, not Ninja Turtles, we would have never played it.
Oh God, no. I only played it because it was a
Turtles. That's how we'd never heard of this company's previous game, because they didn't have a license, which is sad to say. I mean, maybe the other games are good too. This game literally only got played because we're all fans of Ninja Turtles. I mean, who's not a, what boy is not a fan of Ninja Turtles?
And that's the only reason this game has this much success and was this much of a nostalgia beat. That's it. It runs off of pure nostalgia. And I think you enjoy it based off of how much you enjoyed the Ninja Turtles when you were younger. That's pretty much, there's probably a direct correlation.
Towards us, yep. People who were a fan of the cartoon.
It's a kid's game, but come on. Clearly, we're the demographic for the
We're the target market.
Well, okay, we're saying that, but then there's that brand new Turtles coming out. Was it Mutant Mayhem in Manhattan or whatever?
Yeah.
And that looks fantastic. I'm super excited for that. The art style on that looks amazing. And the two times I've seen the trailer, I've laughed during the trailer because I'm like, I just hope that's not the funniest part in the movie.
Mm-hmm. It is. And it looks good.
The art style is really awesome. Also, while we're on we need to talk more about this game. We keep getting sidetracked. There's not a lot to side scroller games. But that the last Ronin thing, that comic book, that really dark comic book, is supposedly getting a video game.
I heard about that. Do you know what that is?
No, nope, I'm clueless on that.
There's a comic book because Turtles was originally a comic, obviously.
Yeah.
There's a more
Danny Eastman or something like that.
Yeah. There's a more recent like side story thing that was really popular called The Last Ronin, where all the other turtles get killed. Except for Mikey, and he's the last of the turtles, and he goes on like this quest for revenge. And apparently, it's a really sick little arc in the Ninja Turtles. It's like a little side story, and that's been done so well. There's somebody's making a video game based on The Last Ronin.
Oh, that'd be cool. I'd be down for that.
And that's like the adult side of Turtles, which originally Turtles was more adult and violent back in the day.
Turtles is,
and I think they found their kid market, so they kind of shifted the whole franchise.
Well,
like Last Ronin seems like it's going back to its roots a little bit.
The original stories had them killing people.
Yeah.
And the whole reason that they even exist is that Splinter, having been turned into a rat, not being a rat mutated, been a human being turned into a rat, was seeking revenge against Shredder. And he trained his...
That's pretty close to the same story.
I mean, but this is much darker.
Yeah.
Like, he trained them to not be ninjas, to specifically kill this guy. That was their life's mission.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in a Half Shell. You know, and they're like, oh, kids love this stuff.
They like pizza.
We got to turn down the...
We can market this way better now.
We got to turn down the violence and turn up the funk.
Turn up the funk. Oh, one of those limited run games, this is totally out of left field, but one of those limited run game options actually came with a Pizza Hut coupon.
Blake has a Blu-ray collection of the first three live action
four,
movies.
Four.
All
four, it's
all,
four.
all it has that
That
animated one.
CGI one that technically comes after.
And his DVD Blu-ray box is a pizza box.
It's got grease
there
stains
you
in it.
Go.
That grease stains.
I love it. It's awesome.
Really cool. Should really talk about this game for a few minutes.
I feel bad. Like
Daniel's gonna hate because Daniel loves. Sorry, Daniel. We know you love this game, but it's just you run to the levels and you smash up the bad guys. I mean, it really is a lot of what you do.
I will say there's a mechanic that I didn't figure out the entire time we played. There's a throwing mechanic that I could not fathom.
I think I figured it, me or bro, one of us figured it out.
Yeah, because there was an achievement that came along with it, and we finally got the achievement that
like
you throw
the guys
enough
at the window, at the screen.
Yeah, off.
And the I think I ended up getting it, and because you only have to do it like 10 times, and I think I got it by accident every time. But I ended up getting the achievement, but I definitely got it by accident.
Yeah,
I mean, like we talked about before, it doesn't have a lot of depth, but it also can't have a lot of depth. I mean, that's just it is what it is. It's good at what it does. It's just. It just does.
Anybody got any memories of a particularly favorite level or boss? You fight all those same.
You get to go through everybody.
All the notable bosses.
Bebop, Rocksteady. You go through what's his name? Oh my god! Of course, you fight Krang and you go into Dimension X. But what? Oh my! What's the fly?
What is his name?
Sebastian? No.
Sebastian.
Jeff Goldblum.
Fight Jeff Goldblum in fly form? No. I don't remember the fly's name.
I can't either, and I feel terrible. He was played by Tyler Perry in the second movie, Out of Shadows, the James Cameron ones with Megan Fox.
Oh, really? He's played by Tyler Perry?
Mm-hmm.
Madea Tyler Perry?
Yeah. Tyler Perry.
Outside of his own movies?
Yeah. Well, we did pretty good. We played, according to my TA,
how long did we play?
My TA says we played for 4 hours and we got 20 out of the 30 achievements.
Look at mine real quick. Brian's not on TA because he is not an achievement hunter of any sort.
You've
tried, but he does not care.
It involves a certain level of skill that I do not possess.
I type in TMNT. Yeah.
I just typed in Shredder's Revenge.
TMNT does not work. Turtles in Time reshelled. When did that come out? Somebody say something. I'm looking this up.
I'm just sitting here thinking about how I'm cutting all of this out.
you cut out the dead air. It's fine. Mine says 2 hours. That can't be right.
I mean, I may have tried to do some other stuff on my own, maybe, or...
Yeah, but we played it two nights. There's no way we played 2 hours over two nights. Like, 4 hours sounded right.
Yeah, that's weird. Maybe that tracking's off on mine.
I don't remember how many chapters there were, but we made it through, like, the first 10 the first night.
I got 19 of the 30 achievements. Blake, what was yours?
I got 20.
What? You say? I bet that's the Casey Jones thing Jones that one. I did not do.
I think Brian will have one more, because I remember one of us played as... near the end, we're just kind of like playing around, trying different characters. And there's an achievement for beating one of the bosses called the Rat King as Splinter, which we easily could have did, but didn't do because we all suck. Breaking 200 objects, we didn't do because we suck. And then
we just didn't play a lot.
Well, right now, that final boss was stupid against Super Shredder because there's an achievement for beating him without a boss or without getting hit. Because he starts like bing, 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 like ping pong.
Yeah, I don't understand how you did that without getting hit. You got some skill.
Like, there's a video somewhere of people playing the entire game and never getting hit. That's guaranteed. Our like past guest, Ben Carthledge of One Cut It Classics, can probably do the entire game without getting hit. Shoot. Probably.
Our cousin Daniel,
he might. Well,
he's probably done it
without getting hit.
I mean, maybe.
Holler at us, Daniel, if you fought Shredder without getting hit. I want to see it. You put it on your YouTube channel.
No video, it didn't happen.
He has another Shredder's Revenge video on his YouTube channel. There's you an idea, Daniel. If you need an idea for your YouTube to do a Shredder's Revenge series. I could think of the word.
You got an Xbox, we'll...
I ain't playing it again. No, you can play. You can play with it. He's got it on PlayStation. You know he does. Anyway, I mean, I feel bad for this because we didn't... By no means did we hate this game or not like this game. There's just not a lot of it. That's the other thing. This is the problem.
I feel like we got out of it all that we could get out of it.
Yeah, two nights and a break from Dark Souls before moving on to other
to a
stuff.
Game that we definitely enjoyed more.
That's not true.
It was one of the best games ever created.
All right,
I think we
flounder more on this game. Let's move on to the other game.
We didn't slobber on it enough, but we I enjoyed it. I did enjoy what
it looks,
we.
It looked great. It looked fantastic. It played
sounded
just,
good.
It sounded good. I mean, everything about it's good. I'm just not sure. We're not the demographic. We're the demographic for Turtles. We're not the demographic for side-scrolling beat-em-ups.
Before we move on, I took a screenshot of it. I don't actually think I have Brian's number because I'm a bad, dirty boy.
I mean, especially considering the person sitting like a few feet from you does have it. I mean, it's not like it's a hidden secret.
But I just took a screenshot, and it's the names of songs, and it's the people who sang on those songs. So if you want specifically the Ghostface Killah, I have that song and stuff, and I'm a Tended Journey to send it to you.
I'll give you Brian's number off
that
podcast.
Sounds like a lot of work. I don't want that nerd's number.
Anyway, so we're going to move on to the other game, which I think Brian's been dreading this. So we haven't been doing very good on like who pick. We've been doing this thing where we want everybody to take turns picking a game. But then we started now with Turtles, and after this next game, we just started like as a group picking.
Because we'd get excited about certain things. I'm like, let's just play that. Yeah. But we need to get back into like putting blame on people. I think
coming up right here, wait if I get into it. This is the only game we can ever put blame on somebody for a game not panning out.
Because there are some other ones that we did play recently, but we were all excited about playing.
Yeah,
but those I can't believe Blake picked this one either. It's pretty big.
Yeah, Blake picked a game from a company that he's never played any game from before. I guess you haven't played the other games either.
Heck no.
I know he stumbled upon this. Anyway, let's get into
it. I can tell that part when we get started.
Go ahead and introduce the game and the stuff, and then Brian can tell us why he subjected us to this.
Our next game is it called The Hunt or is it Just Hunt?
Just Hunt.
Just Hunt. Okay.
Good start.
Yeah. Our next game is called Hunt Showdown. And it originally came out on Xbox in 2019 and would come out on PS4 in early 2020. And it is developed and published by Crytek. Now, Crytek has a long and
storied,
weird history, storied history. They originally were founded in 1999 out of Frankfurt, Germany. And they have since, they grew to have 8 studios ranging from Ukraine, Istanbul out in Turkey, Bulgaria, Hungary, South Korea, China, England, and then in the US. And shortly after, a THQ who owned them filed Chapter 11 in 2014, they were forced to shut down many and consolidate. So they went from 8 studios down to just 2.
Well, we won't go into it again, but we've been to the THQ story on this podcast before. Yeah. Just Google it. It's really interesting.
And I do want to, originally, we'll get to this, the original concept for this was it was supposed to take place in the Darksiders universe, and you were humans hunting down demons that had escaped from hell. That was the original
concept.
That's so
much better than this.
That was the original concept. Now, I think they talked about you could choose to be
There's nothing wrong with the setting of this game, honestly. The not licensed setting of this game is fine, I would say.
Well, because technically, the original gameplay, I misread that. You're not humans. You actually played as the four horsemen, and it was called Hunt.
That's a huge misread of those.
Well, yeah. because I saw the word bounty hunter, and I got confused in my notes, because that's what this game is. But the original game was called, it was based in Darksiders universe, and it was called Hunt, Horsemen of the Gilded Age. And you got to play the four horsemen and go down and hunt down bad, bad people from heaven or hell.
It's a mouthful.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be like before, like when all the four horsemen were together before they split up before Darksiders. Yeah. That'd be a cool prequel game.
Yeah.
Won't happen now. But.
No, but then we got this, and we'll let Brian explain why he let us play this completely overhauled version of Hunt, Horsemen of the Gilded Age.
Because it was cheap. It was cheap, and okay, let me paint a picture for you. It's 2020. Everybody knows what happened in 2020. We all got locked in our houses, and we were bored. And so I watched...
Did we really? I only missed 2 days of work.
I didn't miss any days. We got deemed necessary, but still.
We did too, but I got fired on a Tuesday and then hired on a new job on a Friday.
Perfect. It's all because I watched streamers play it. That's the whole thing. I watched streamers play it, and then when I found it this time before we played it, it was only $13, and it came with like a huge list of all the downloadables and all the extras and everything, and I was like, oh wow, you get so much for your money. This is going to be awesome. And so it was an easy sell to Drew, who was like, oh yeah, that's a good price for everything that's coming with it. And then it turns out it was not a good price, and it didn't matter how much junk they gave us, it still didn't help the gameplay and how much fun we were gonna have.
So it sounds like you watched streamers who may or may not knew what they were doing when they played the game and made it look really good. So maybe the game is better than we give it credit for because we suck.
Maybe, yeah, that's probably got a lot to do with it. I mean, but I watched a guy from like the, I don't know, the release on up, but it looked, and I still say that the world looked good and the idea was good, and like the ambiance of the area, that was all cool. It's just the gameplay was lacking. And yeah, they made certain decisions and certain decisions about your characters and everything that does not make a fun game, in our opinion, anyway, put it that way.
That's what I'm saying. Like, even without the Darksiders license, the game looks fine. Like, it has a look to it and like an atmosphere to it that it doesn't need Darksiders to stand on its own. But I think, like you said, where it falters is the gameplay itself.
Like, hold on, I'm checking something. Okay.
They actually announced in 2021 that they're going to work on a live action television series adaptation of this game. I can't imagine that's going to be successful. That's what
I was looking into, because I just figured that out.
Is the player base even that big?
I don't. I can't imagine.
Binge.
Is it?
What's Binge?
Binge? Never heard of it.
I mean, I'm sure it's like a Shudder type streaming service or something like that, where you pay a small fee.
Since it's a foreign company, maybe it's a foreign. I mean, racist. Right? But since it's a, I didn't even know, today is the first time I ever heard Crytek was not an American company. So that's how much I know. So maybe it's a streaming service in another country.
Maybe so. Maybe
because one of the lead people for it is it might be kind of decent, because it says the main person, the lead producer and the director of it, is a dude named Alan Ungar. He's from Canada. He's responsible for a true crime drama called Bandit and Sympathy of the Devil, but he is also responsible for the Uncharted live action fan film with Nathan Fillion.
There's a reason we don't know about Binge. It's because it is a subscription service available in Australia. So there you go.
That explains it. You say Ben with an Australian accent. I can't
say anything. I really wish I could, but I can't.
Man, and that was November 2021. Like, that they announced.
Binge is a great word for a streaming service. I'm not gonna lie.
It's not bad.
No.
But yes.
So an Australian streaming service is making a game from a German video game developer.
Making a TV show about a
TV show from a German, a Canadian director is making a Canadian filmmaker is making a show on a Australian streaming service based off a game from a German video game developer.
Yes. It's basically NATO. NATO is going to make this television show. It's going to be great.
The world is coming together. This show would bring about world peace.
All for Hunt Show.
If the show comes to America, I would at least try it.
That's right.
I will try the show.
Because it'll give the characters more personality.
Yeah.
No, you don't want the characters to have personality, because that's our main problem with this thing. Because your character is going to die.
Well,
So we get into that parts of the game. We got to talk about the gameplay and all that stuff too. But initially, what you have to do, first of all, you're bombarded like any of a. Is this a live service game? Is that what this is? We talked about that a couple of times on the podcast, or maybe talk off podcast live. The menu is like you're being bombarded with information. Like the main menus, you're just like, buy this, buy that. Look at this, one of these, and here's your characters. And it's just
They call it competitive multiplayer. So I don't think they use the terminology live service, but I mean, yeah, it's got that, it smacks of it,
that look to it, kind of, in a way. So I'll say about tutorials, this game is maybe lacking just on the upfront aspect of just when you turn it on, it acts like you've been playing forever. There's so much stuff. It's hard to even figure out how to even
play the game,
pick a character, why you're picking that character, loadouts, do the character different characters matter? Like, there's lots and lots of confusing stuff. There's no onboarding that I remember whatsoever. But we did manage to get into the game eventually. You have to play through a tutorial, single player tutorial first. But if you want to talk about, man, if you want to talk about the characters, are they, I don't remember, were they just cosmetic, or that, or they have individual skills, or do you have to unlock, you level up a character to unlock skills? And if, and but then, like Brian's leading to it, like if that character, if you, they die and they die, they're like, they're gone, you just got to move on to another character, which I think is a pretty awful way to do this.
Yeah, because they did have I guess whatever XP you could get would unlock different skills and different attributes of each one of the characters. So I mean, there were benefits to using the different characters, but by the time you've put in all that effort, and like you said earlier, it may be just because maybe we weren't as good as we could have been. We didn't want to spend this time and this effort to build these characters up because we just knew they were about to get rocked the next time we went out and we weren't going to have them anymore.
Mm-hmm. The game was not easy, and that's for sure. So what it does, we can, I mean, help me out here, it's been awesome since we played it. You do load into, is it one map?
It's one large-ish
map.
I think they call it mid-sized open world map is what they call it.
Well, I think you always kind of, it seems like you always spawn in the same place, and you're kind of given, what is that weird vision you have that kind of supposed to point you in the right direction of your objective, and you're going to go. I don't think the thing we're hunting even appears right away.
No, you have to go get clues. Like the first thing that you're after is to go find the clues.
Okay.
And then as you find each clue, like event you picked up three or whatever, and that helped you narrow down, and your tracker would then point to the lair of the boss. And the boss was always, it was one of five monsters, and that was part of what was, I guess, randomly generated on the map. You mm-hmm. got one of the five options.
Do you remember what the monsters were?
You can tell us, Blake, but didn't we fight? Did we fight all five of them?
They are. They're just simply called the Butcher, the Spider, the Assassin, the Scrapbeak, and then the wild card target, the Rotjaw.
Okay, we may have only fought the Butcher and the Spider. I think
we fought the Assassin. We fought the Assassin once.
Okay, I don't remember Rotbeak. Is that what it's called?
Rotjaw and Scrapbeak. No, I don't remember either one of those.
I hope they were added afterwards, because that's what the game. Well, we did a bunch of.
Well, they said it had some DLC after the fact, but I didn't know it was Still Waters Run Deep.
Yeah, I feel like when we played, we gave it a fair, I don't know, two or three nights of this, but it was like so limited on the, I mean, how much can you hunt the same? I mean, you say the same thing about Monster Hunter, I guess, but like
there's a lot more monsters in Monster Hunter.
Yeah, we're gonna hunt one of the three things that we fought over, and we fought the Butcher like five times. I feel like the Spider two or three times. Like, come on, I need some. If this is the point of the game, you gotta have variety.
Well, not just that, is it had like a loose competitive thing, because you'd spawn into these maps. And then other hunters.
That's what killed us. The other hunters. That's another thing, because we're not us three together. We're not PvP.
Because it would spawn you in a map, and you would have between two or three targets, and whoever killed the most and, you know, dipped out, because you had to track it, then you had to go hunt it down and kill
it. Did your tracking market for other hunters?
I don't think.
No, your tracking doesn't.
But if you guys are both tracking the same monster, you and another group could come to the same location where you're tracking.
Right.
You could shoot each other. We got into multiple combat situations, and we're like, this sucks.
And then whoever picks up the bounty then gets marked for everybody. And that was the downside, because there's two ways to play.
You had to carry the bounty to the exit.
Yeah, there's two ways to play. You can either go out and get it yourself and then bring it back, or you can just choose to stake out the extraction point once it shows, and you can just murk the people that got it. And then you become the winner of the match.
Now, I was looking into it. We're talking about the permadeath for your characters. Mm-hmm. You don't, because you rank up or level up, and you're perfectly fine until level 10.
Yep.
After level 10, when you hit, what do you call it, bloodline rank 11, once you hit rank 11, then death becomes permanent.
Which is so...
I mean, it's counterintuitive. Why do you want to put this much effort and time into this character and then get all the way to a high rank, and then all of a sudden that's when you can lose all your progress?
Especially online. Do you imagine anybody playing an online game facing other players?
Can you imagine how mad your Fortnite fan base would be if they lost that skin?
Every time that you die. Come on. It's such weird. And there's no, like, the rewards of playing the game do not in no way outweigh the loss of losing a character. There's no, like, and then, like, I think we all lost a character, and that's about when we were like, I think we're kind of done with this. Like, this sucks. Yeah. Like, we were kind of like,
losing the character was the nail in the coffin for sure.
Proverbial nail in the coffin.
Yeah.
Which was a bummer. It just dumps you back to the screen, and you got to like, and we're on quote unquote unlocking other characters. Like, I don't know who these people. They all pop out. They all have cool art and costumes. And
yeah, they look awesome.
Little stories about who they are. I'm like, I don't know what none
they're
of
randomly
mean.
Generated.
They're randomly generated.
They don't matter.
So we're not unlocking specific characters. We're unlocking randomly generated nonsense. Like that doesn't.
Yeah, because it never ends.
I thought they had stories. I thought they had little who they were.
They do, but how they do AI nowadays? Chat GPS or whatever.
Well, I don't think that's what it was. I thought we were unlocking. I thought they had like a cast of specific characters, and you were just like working your way through these because they all had costumes and stuff too.
Under the tab will be four hunters with random names, appearances, loadouts, and background.
Wow.
Because you think about it, they have to be never ending. Because if you actually like this game, you're going to lose all these people. You know, I mean,
maybe you're just supposed to not get attached to the characters. But like, what's the point of building?
Well, I didn't
them up
realize
if they
I didn't
die?
Know they're random until literally just now as I'm reading it.
All the work of hunting and then the stuff just to build up a character for it to die just seems so backwards. Or find some other reason to, if you want to have packs of characters, or if you're trying to sell characters, find some other reason. Or I mean, Fortnite, like you said. But Fortnite makes billions of dollars just off cosmetics.
That's what their goal was initially. But
these characters have skills. Like you lose a character that levels up and has skills, and that character dies, and you're just like, and you'll default to another random character who has
that starts at one skill. Bloodline level one,
and doesn't have any of the skills you liked.
But then you can use hunt dollars to buy that skill again.
Exactly.
Because you're the random nature is the things that were generated were tier one, tier two, or tier three. Tier one came with literally nothing. Tier two would come with a specific trait, and then tier three would come with a specialized in a weapon with two traits, but it was random what you got. But if you liked that ability, you liked that specialization, guess what?
You can
get it back with hunt dollars, which I think you got in game, but you could also purchase with real money.
Yeah.
What a mess.
Which it was a big downer. Well, there's also this random piece of info I'll throw in that we didn't actually take advantage of, but there are two modes. There's that bounty hunt mode, which is what we played. And then there is a battle royale mode. That they call like, they mold it. It used to be called quick play and then got changed to soul survivor or something like that. But they tried to, I don't know, leverage to get even more money by throwing that battle royale in there.
The battle royale, is that just you go in there? So there's no monsters. You just go in there and fight each other basically.
Yeah. It lasts for 15 minutes. You start with minimal equipment, like a low grade pistol or shotgun or something, and a low grade melee weapon. And then it's just like you find four rifts on the map and you activate the wellspring. And then it's pretty much you try to get out at the end of the 15 minutes with the wellspring, which it turns out that's what we were trying to evacuate with when you get the bounty. You're getting the wellspring and taking that to the extraction point, which is, this is all information that I learned when I was looking in this game to talk about it, because we didn't care enough while we were playing it to know what was actually going on. The best part about this game was the setting, and then like the ambiance and everything. Like they did awesome on that, but then they made weird decisions. Good. Yeah, it looked good. And it was creepy. I mean, fighting that spider in the barn and we're trying to burn it with, that was cool. But like we said before, the other bounty hunters that aren't people we know at all pop up and then start murking us in the back while we're just trying to kill this spider. Yeah. If we could do it, it was just us three. You're like just our team, and we're going out to do these bounties and bring them back. Like it would have been a lot more fun to me anyway.
Yeah.
And I could maybe unlock some cosmetics and stuff, you know, just for something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I did find out too that there is another thing you can spend money on.
Of course,
you
there
have
is.
Tier one, tier two, and tier three hunters. Then you have the legendary hunter, which costs 200 hunt dollars, which comes with three random traits and a completely empty inventory that's bigger than tier one, two, or three.
And then take them to you spend 200 hunt dollars, take them to the first fight, and they die immediately.
Only after they hit level 11.
Yeah, you get to fight all the way to level 11, and then you lose your 200 hunt dollars. Yeah, and you're gonna die because they don't provide enough ammunition in the map to actually shoot things.
And you can get 200 hunt dollars for 45 easy payments of $10.99.
That's what I'm trying to figure out, how much
it's gonna be like a
hunt dollar was.
99 cents a dollar. And there's always some weird crazy conversion. But so back to the battle royale, you talk about that you had to do more than just shoot folks. I feel like that's an extra layer of complication that, like, that's what separates it. That's why I think, besides the childish art direction and stuff, why Fortnite's so successful, a part of it is there's no major thought process to it. You just drop in and you shoot folks. That's all you have to do in
shoot
Fortnite.
Folks, destroy things. Just those are your options.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Ella's just going to creep through the background there, apparently. Hello.
Nerd.
He's not welcome on the podcast. This is boys only.
Yeah. Get back in your room and stay there. I'm looking at this and people talking about, ooh, you can farm them. You ain't got to buy them. And this number one rated comment on Reddit was like, oh yeah, just run free hunters. I have made 20K in just under 10 hours of gameplay over the last few days. It's easy. I'm not spending...
No, 10 hours of your life doing this?
Just to farm currency to buy something that could die.
After level 10.
Again, that's just like...
It says the only thing to do is just tell everyone to use free hunters, which is the tier ones, the easy ones.
I'm sure that's what we were doing. We did everything after we bought whatever we bought. And do we even know, like, we bought whatever, $13. What did we get in that pack? Does anybody remember or no?
No, not at all. But, it, I mean, it was a lot
of
DLC
and stuff. I'm sure we got some hunt dollars. But do we get DLC of characters that then die? Is that the thing? That's what I'm asking.
I'm sure we did.
Or weapons or something. I don't even.
I'm trying to look real quick on my Xbox, on my computer, but.
Well, the funny thing is we're bitching and moaning about the gameplay cycle, and you're like,
yes, we are.
Just die. If you lose, you get to restart all over. And its number one praise is its innovative gameplay loop.
I missed that.
So I don't understand. But the crazy thing is how much we didn't like it is how well it's received by everybody. I'm seeing 8 out of 10s, 9 out of 10s, 7 out of 10s.
They got that big of a player base. Because granted, we complain about the other players showing up, but like, say we did like 10 hunts, I think people showed up like twice.
And it's supposed to support up to 12 players at a time. And I don't ever remember seeing more than
three.
one other team of three.
Yeah. So you think you'd be like hitting as hard with multiple, maybe it was a mode we were in or a setting that we only get one other team on the screen or something like that. We poked at the settings trying to play by ourselves, but it won't let you.
We're missing the obvious answer here, and it comes to us through the television announcement. This is obviously super popular in Australia. That can be the only answer. This must be super popular in Australia and they love it down there.
Things just hit places differently, I guess.
Maybe the
map's based off Australia.
It almost feels like maybe some of these ratings are paid, because I'm looking at some of this stuff. Critics praised the game for its innovative gameplay loop and noted the game offered a very unique experience when compared to other multiplayer games on the market. Though some critics also complained that the game had a lack of content at launch.
I guess. I mean,
it had a decent amount of content by the time we got to it. But the thing is, was it anything that was useful at all?
I don't know.
I don't even really remember what guns.
Number of maps and weapons make the game feel incredibly repetitive past a certain point. There's only so many flocks of crows, creaking boardwalks, and maimed horses I can see before I'm done.
that's what I said when you lead, like, there's like five things to hunt, and once you, after the first time you hunt all five, we kind of ran into this when we played, you know, however much later we'll have a Monster Hunter podcast. You fight that monster two or three times, you're like, okay, I've seen it.
I've seen everything this game has to offer.
Yeah, but at least Monster Hunter had like a you know, who knows, 100 monsters, whatever it had. We fought the butcher two or three times, and it was like, okay, yeah. I'm ready to. There should be a new hunt every month in that game, at least.
And Monster Hunter at least has different maps, different biomes. I mean, this one, I think I remember us talking about the fact that the map never changed. Sure, where the clues were randomly different, and where you popped up was different, but.
I wonder if where you fight things is random too, because like you said, we fought the spider in that barn, and that worked out really well. Fighting that spider was really good in that barn. Do you fight the spider like out in the open? Because that'd be less terrible. That's less entertaining than fighting it crawling around this barn.
Well, I think everything was slightly contained.
Always fight the spider in the barn, because that also becomes the second time we would fight the spider in the barn. That's not fun no more. We done seen that.
I think the boss locations were
static.
Not static, but they had a choice, because we fought something inside like that. Was it a coal mine? We had like all the carts, all the mine carts going around.
Coal.
That's where we were attacked by another group of people in that coal mine. There was the barn. Then there was,
I think that was the assassin.
Like, some sort of like waterfront property, almost like a lake or something. Like, but I think those zones, whatever, 5, 6, 8 of them, the boss would randomly appear in one of those 8 locations. Because we went to another one that was like an actual mine. Like it was like a underground, and we went up into the shack and it. Yeah, but I don't think the game had weather. It wasn't like raining or day or nighttime.
I had plenty of fog though. It had fog and mist or whatever.
Setting the moon. Yeah.
Yeah.
the dour mood of the whole game.
Oh, and then the whole time there were the extra, like the zombies. I forget what they called them, but the you know, grunts. There were the, yeah, those grunts.
Well, there were, remember, there's just regular enemies.
Yeah, grunts, hives, or armorids, apparently. I don't know what the armorid was, but yeah.
What do you
remember
think
the was? Hives.
Armored enemies.
I guess. Probably
zombies walk around in police armor. And then I think the
other one. Oh, yeah, ones, that's, what was I it? Just said armorids. That's armoreds. My bad.
And I think the hive ones like blew up on you. They were like, maybe. And they threw poison at you. Like,
oh yeah, no, the hive was like when it was like insects or something, and then they just murked you. I remember those. Like, oh, you didn't yeah, anger those. Those things came after you, and you couldn't escape them. There was no running away.
I feel like what we played. Though what we played was the released final product, I feel like we played a beta. Is honestly
that's a good
what
description.
Like.
Yeah, that's a good description.
Like it was missing content or something.
Like, yeah.
I wonder if we had to play more. We fought three of the five monsters. So I don't know if we had to play to a certain point to unlock the full experience. But like, you really only do the tutorial one time, and you fight the butcher, and then it just cuts you loose in the rest of the game, I guess. So I think we did kind of what we're supposed to do.
I mean, there's only one obvious solution: is that we all reinstall it, and this afternoon we get together for a 6-hour hunt showdown fest. That's all we got.
10-hour minimum. If you want
okay,
to get
yeah,
20,000
we
got
to get 20,000 hunt dollars. That's a good point.
We have to grind that out together. No thanks. Anybody got anything else for this?
Now, I was trying to find the monsters again, so I wanted to figure out like how we could unlock them.
I don't remember how do we pick when we picked a hunt.
No, okay, I think your monster clues, was random.
Your what? Do we have different clues? Like you found a spider clue, or you found a butcher clue?
It's like you found like a boot print or a claw.
That's because like the different teams could go different directions if they wanted to and hunt different monsters.
Right.
I think the whatever clues were on the map were random. Who knows how it worked?
From what I read, like, yeah, there's the monsters, there's different ones on the map. And then, yeah, you get the clues, you figure out your monster. And then it's kind of like luck of the draw, whether it's the same monster that another team is going for or not. But to extract and actually win to get hunt dollars or whatever else, I guess, you had to have one of those wellsprings from taking out the monster and then escape with it at the extraction point.
Sprinting across the map was not entertaining.
No.
And all the
I don't guess ambiance characters that you could fight, none of them were that difficult. You just had to go around them, basically. You didn't have to engage if you didn't want to, which is lucky because you don't have enough ammunition for anything like that anyway. It's a first person shooter with way too limited ammo.
We kind of mentioned out in the front end it was the first we did not at any point.
Yeah, we didn't say that. No, but it is.
Me and Blake are bad about that on the podcast sometimes, talking about a whole lot about a game and like, did we say what kind of game it was?
Yeah, it was FPS.
Yeah.
And it was apparently the DLC also added in a few extra monsters, the water devil and the meathead, and everything about this game looks good. Everything was creepy. All the monsters were creepy. Even the grunts, the hive, the emulsion things, the ones that were on fire and ran at you. They were kind of ashy. Remember those ones? If you meleeed them, you caught on fire too, so you had to shoot them.
The more we talk about it, the more I think this would make a good TV series. If the hunters actually had interesting backstories and then they have
had
to go
personality
on these...
and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be good.
And cool. They could.
What happens is they die. It's like a reality show. If they die in the TV show, they're gone. And then they just randomly, the next actor has to, they go into a room and a bunch of stuff is just randomly selected for them. Here's a hat, a jacket, this pair of pants, this gun. Then they're on the show until they die.
They take it like an anthology. Like the character dies but comes back. Hey guys, I'm Bill. Bill dies. He goes, hey guys, I'm Rick. You look just like Bill. He was my brother. You know, or some stupid thing like
that. I look just like him, except I have this hat now.
He wore a red hat. I wore a blue hat.
Yeah, there's a pretty good chance that show never sees the light of day, but I would at least give it a fair swing.
I mean, at the very least, they keep the episode count down. You give it 8 to 10 episodes. You got 5 seasons, one for each monster.
That is bold. Yeah. You don't think they would hunt a monster in one episode?
No, because you have to track it. You got to build suspense. You got to introduce characters. And they got to somehow work in that other settlements are hunting the monster too, to, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You at least got to have one episode for clues and then one episode for the battle.
A whole episode about clues.
Right.
There's got to be drama. Now, we're kind of doing this out of order. We never actually talked about Crytek and the other games that they made.
We're too far gone.
I know.
Yeah.
Way too far gone.
Everyone knows that they made Crysis. Anyway.
And everybody knows that Crysis's main claim to fame is just smoking computers. And that's their main thing. They can kill your graphics card.
Do we have anything else we want to add? Maybe something you liked about the game? You know, a favorite weapon.
I don't even remember what guns I was shooting. I lean towards rifles in most games.
Like what, single shot or?
Single shot or bolt action rifles. Like that's what I lean toward. That's what I'm using in our current Twitch thing is our current co-op endeavor, which is Division, at least lean towards rifles.
I think I used a shotgun mostly the whole time we were doing this. But that was only because it had the most stopping power because, like we talked about before, ammunition is so limited that you really had to pay attention to that, which kind of sucked.
Did the characters have special skills, even though randomly selected? Do we have, like, powers or anything? Seems like a game...
Traits.
Some of them are like... Seems like a game where we'd have powers. It's bad, I can't remember.
Yeah, but I think the only major power that I remember is that weird hunter vision or whatever to let you track things.
We all had that, though.
Yeah,
might be about it. Unless anybody's got anything else.
I mean, one thing I did like the, I guess, ambiance or whatever. Like it, when we first played, before we realized that it sucked, it was fun. Like running through this world and being kind of freaked out, and it had that weird like end of the world horror vibe. That was good. It just got old real quick once you figured out nothing mattered. So
I love you said like being creeped out in horror. There's not enough. I'd like to have a genuine co-op horror game that was actually kind of scary. Would be. There's not enough. There's lots of horror games out there, but not enough co-op. I guess because it's hard to be scared when you got friends. But I'd love a good co-op experience.
We need to try Phantasmophoria sometime. You seen that?
I've heard about it. Ghost hunting with we'll definitely have to have a whole. That'll be on our list to play. Is it on console? Yeah, I know it's coming.
I don't think it is yet.
It's coming soon. I think it's been out. I know one of those things has been like a phenomenon on PC that.
On PC for years now.
I don't follow streamers, so I never hear about it. But yeah, ghost hunting co-op. That'll be. Hopefully it's scary and not like cheesy.
Well, I've watched a couple of streams about it. I mean, this is totally off topic, but yeah, it's scary enough, I think. Especially you're gonna have to wear headphones and get that full immersive sound and everything.
I play all games with headphones.
Yeah, because like you split up and go different places in the house or whatever that you're investigating. Like one person can hear voices and hear something, even and you're not in the same room, and so
that could be cool. Me and Blake have mentioned it on the podcast before. Have you played Man of Medan yet?
No, I haven't yet.
See, that works more like it's we didn't like it that much, but it's one of the very, very few co-op kind of horror experiences. And that game messed with the different characters. Like I read a collectible and looked at it, and I walked away. And then when Blake looked at the same collectible, like a ghost jumped out of it or something and scared the crap out of him. It was so funny because I've been in a different room with him and I hear him scream from across the house.
And you're like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, because a ghost jumped out of this freaking book or something and scared the hell out of you. That was really good. That's fun stuff. I mean, hopefully the
Phantasmophobia.
Phantasmophobia will have we'll have cool. I'm hoping to have cool moments where one of us is getting screwed with by the other two or not, and someone's actually creeped out.
I hope when it comes to console, it's as cheap as it is on PC right now. Because right now that game is going for like $11.19. So you know it won't be that cheap, but it'd be great if it was.
It'd be a we always say we're not a Game Pass podcast. We might as well be, but that'd be a good Game Pass release. That'd really fluff the player base.
Yeah, right.
We'd buy it. It's such a cool idea. An idea that I'm surprised hasn't come out before now.
Yeah, you know, seriously.
Ghost hunting co-op game. It seems like a obvious, especially with all that, because my wife watched all of Ghost Adventures. That show's been going for like 25 years.
Oh, yeah. People still love it.
There hasn't been a game. Yeah, she just watched new episodes the other day. I was like, how's there not been a game for this? But I mean, there is now. So hopefully it'll be. And say, if not on Game Pass, we'll buy it because it's such a cool idea to not, and perfect for like, you know, three grown men streaming and trying not to be screaming like little girls. I'm scared at all.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Why do I gotta go downstairs by myself? That's what they do in the Ghost Adventures. I don't like Ghost Adventures because I pretty much hate the main guy. Zach Bagans is one of the biggest douchebags on the planet. I hate that dude, but I've seen enough of it because my wife is watching it, but they always send the same guy, one of his partners, they always send him somewhere by himself. So that's what we'll be doing probably. Blake's the scaredest of all of us. Blake's the jump. I don't know how jumpy you are, Brian. Blake is extremely jumpy. All right, good. So we'll be sending Blake everywhere by himself.
Well, the funny thing
planning is, ahead.
We're going to have to attack this like we're on a show.
In like my home, because I'm not expecting it. I just walk into
a room and Blake jumps out of his freaking chair. Yeah, I'm stealthy.
I'm stealthy.
Or all the times, like, people who come to our streams, a lot of times Blake falls asleep on our streams because he can't stay awake. I will walk into his room just to wake him up, and Blake always wakes up startled.
I'm going to get worse like, in my sleep.
I walk into his room like, hey, Blake, he wakes up like I'm attacking him. I record that sometime and put it on our social media. He does wake up like he's being attacked. I'll start recording a couple of times when I wake him up, post record, and see if I get some good recordings. I'll post it on our social media. We veered way off topic talking about other games we'd rather be playing.
Yes.
That's how you know it was so good.
Yeah. Do we know, we could have mentioned it here because we've played, I don't know how many folks, we have a few handful of folks, one or two ever that show up to our streams. You should definitely come to our streams and, take part in them and stuff like that because it makes these episodes, I think when you are watching the streams and you listen to it, it makes these episodes better because we talk about stuff we did and more in the games. But do we know?
Games we enjoyed more. Talk about it better.
Do we remember the order? Because we do these podcasts and the order in which we play the game. Every game from here forward we've beat, right?
Yes.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so what's after this we jumped into?
Grounded.
So it was Grounded, okay. Which I think I technically put Grounded forward to something I wanted to play. So I thought it'd be more interesting than it turned out being. So we have Grounded coming up next time we do one of these. We'll wait a couple of
episodes. Lock, Stock, Two Smoke Controllers presents Lock, Stock, and Two Smoke Controllers co-op endeavors.
Perfect.
So that's Grounded and then
Anthem.
And then Anthem. Who pitched Anthem?
I don't remember.
I think that may have been me.
Did you pitch Anthem?
Because we're like, we need something that may or may not suck. And I was like, it looks
Anthem cool. Was our placeholder waiting for Monster Hunter.
Out. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Waiting for Monster Hunter Rise
to come.
And I think it was my turn to pick after Grounded. And the choice
I pitched Grounded then.
And then I was like, I want to, because it's going to leave Game Pass. It was Marvel's Avengers, Anthem, and something else.
Mm-hmm.
And
Outriders, I think, was the other one.
Outriders?
Yeah.
I thought it was.
That we had as an option.
I thought the pitch was things we don't really care about, but we want to kill time for Monster Hunter.
Exactly.
It was Anthem. Yeah. And because I'm interested. Outriders is supposed to be very good.
Oh, yeah, I am too.
So it might have been just putting Anthem and Avengers.
Something that we knew might suck. But we were like, oh, we'll play until Monster Hunter comes out. Was literally the goal. And that's why we didn't go with Outriders. Because we all I don't know anything about it. But y'all seem genuinely interested.
So next time we need a shooter of some sort, we might lean back towards Outriders.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so we did that. And then we obviously did Monster Hunter. And from Monster Hunter, we pivoted into... Monster Hunter we did not beat. One, because we'll talk about it on the podcast. Monster Hunter doesn't have an... I guess you could beat the main campaign. We didn't get that far. And then we pivoted from Monster Hunter into shooting, which is ironic because I pitched more or less the Division 2 because I wanted to shoot guns for a little bit when I spent my entire time in Monster Hunter shooting a gun. I don't know why I wanted to pitch Division 2, but we're in Division 2 right now.
Very different gun. Very different gun.
Very different gun. So now we're in Division 2. If you want to come participate and stuff like that. And then from Division 2, even though Microsoft is in the trying to acquire Activision and put all the games on Game Pass, blah, 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 Brian conned me into buying Diablo 2 Resurrected. So now
it was so cheap.
It was $15. You get Diablo 2 and Diablo 3.
And every DLC, added everything.
Yeah. For both, I think.
For both.
Yeah, well, for both.
Resurrected doesn't really have any deal. Resurrected has some cosmetic DLC or something. No, the expansion's included.
Yeah.
So, but you get Diablo 3 and all of its shenanigans. Yeah, so anyway, $15. I was like, God, like you told me Brian had bought it, and I was like, if this Activision deal goes through, it's going to be on Game Pass. Man, $15 is a sick deal, and this Activision thing's been going on forever.
$15 for two games and all DLC and expansions for the two games.
Yeah.
And you know those are good for so many hours.
We'll definitely, because me and Blake have never played Diablo 2 before. We've only played Diablo 3. So after Division, we'll be moving over into Diablo 2, and from there we'll
whose choice is Diablo 2 going
to
be?
We all are very excited to play Diablo 2.
So. Yeah, I don't know if we can attribute that to any one of us because we're all pretty pumped.
Make it Brian, since he's the one who forced you to buy it.
Woo! I'm fine with that.
Why is it only in Brian's pick we have to buy stuff?
Because he's rich.
I don't know. Yeah, that's obviously it.
This is the homeowner with a pool.
I got a pool. It ain't finished yet, but it's there.
Yeah, it's got water in it.
It does, yeah.
We swam.
Swam?
Swum.
Swum. We swummed.
Hey, no. He's the rider.
Not swummed, it's swum. Swum is the past tense.
We swammed.
It's
we
like thunk.
We swammed. I like swammed.
We swam. We swammed real good.
You don't swimmed. You don't swummed. It's
We always say we always say on the podcast, on our streams, you're public school.
Yeah, we do go to public school in the South. Why slammed? We don't need education when you have the Bible in hand.
It's all the education you need, boy.
You think Jesus swam? No, he walked on the water.
Need that. Oh,
he walked on the water.
He woked.
No, he didn't do any woke nothing. Don't you be putting that true.
He went to sleep for 3 days.
Anyway, we are way off topic. Anyway, the hunt.
It makes sense. Post-apocalyptic demons. We were talking about religion accounts.
Yeah, right.
Lots of demons and religion in Diablo too. Anyway, that's where we are. The hunt. This is a weird episode. We half talked about two games and rambled on about other stuff.
Take-home message. We liked Shredder's Revenge. It was good for what it is. And we did not like Hunt Showdown.
For what it is.
For what it is.
Anybody got anything else to add to this podcast where we wrap this thing up?
Nope.
No.
All right. So I guess I'm not going to do any kind of social. The only social media thing, not even social media thing we'll do, I was like, this whole podcast here is about our Twitch channel. So it's twitch.tv/2smokingcontrollers. Just follow that or follow our Twitter to get notified when we go live on that. There's no schedule of that. This is probably why we're such bad streamers. We don't, it's hard to schedule a thing. We all have family and kids, and Blake's got dogs, and we have a lot of just whatever. We suck. We're adults, and it's hard to get all together. So we try at least once a week to get together to play our current game, Division 2. So if you just follow us on Twitch or follow us on Twitter or Facebook, whatever, the podcast, you will get notified when we're going to go live. So we like people to come, at least come and drop in for a few minutes, say hi, if anything, you know, come do that. And then that's it. We do that. And then we eventually, when we get through the games, we come do these. We're not really planning these episodes too much either. These episodes fall in when me and Blake don't have another game to talk about. So we gotta drop in one of these co-op endeavors episodes that we haven't played, because I've been playing nothing but Assassin's Creed and God of War Ragnarok. So I don't have any games to talk about, because I haven't made anything in a while. That's why our last episode was this Young Souls and what was the other game?
Kraken Academy?
No,
it wasn't Kraken Academy.
Anyway, but we usually have a stockpile of small games we beat over time, and unless we're both playing large things, because Blake's also playing Ragnarok and Blake's playing Death Stranding and
Telling Lies was the other one.
Anyway, so we try not to talk about AAA stuff on this podcast too much if we can avoid it, but that's all. We kind of just stumbled into playing nothing but bigger games for a moment. We'll find some more small things to play. If anybody's got any recommendations for any silly weird games you think we like for the podcast, let us know. We'll buy it probably.
Oh yeah, and then they'll make you feel a bit guilty about buying it.
pretend we like it. If a listener tells us to buy a game,
the game was really good.
Blake just winked on the.
I was gonna say video. Winks aren't audible, just so you know.
This is real crusty.
I need you to say wink.
Get that loser out of the background. Tell her to go to her room.
That's mean. She's already not watching her YouTube videos just to give us the time we need.
Funny. All right, we're done rambling. We gotta wrap this thing up, because now Brian has to edit out so much nonsense out of this podcast. Now good thing we pay him the big bucks to edit for us.
That's right. It's my retirement plan.
All right, so that's all we got. I'll say bye from here
and adieu.
And I want to wish everybody a good evening and good night.
kick some.